Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Him who shines in glory upon the mountain, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Matthew 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John, His brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. And His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. Thus far, our text. Congregation, may be seated. There was a knock on my office door a while back. And I said, "Come in." And in walked a young man. His face was down. His eyes were filled with sadness. His whole demeanor was defeated. And friends, after our initial greetings, we got down to business. "Why are you here, son?" And he told me. I didn't know who he was. He said, "I'm thinking about checking out." And I thought, "What? Checking out? What, from a hotel? From a rental that you're living in? What do you mean checking out?" No, that's not what he meant. You might surmise what he meant. He was done with life. He had had it. He was thinking about ending his life. For you see, the love of his life, a young lady in his life, who he just bought a ring for and was going to ask to marry, gave him the boot. And it destroyed him. It crushed him. He was looking to a grand and glorious future, and it was just snatched away just that quickly. "I want to check out," he said. "I'm tired of it all. I don't have any reason to go on." What a tragedy, dear friends. Life hits you hard sometimes, doesn't it? Nobody's immune. We're in a fallen world. For a moment I thought, "Oh my, what am I going to do?" And I started praying to myself, "Lord, help me. Help me. Give me the words. What do I tell this young man?" It was then that I spent the next 2 hours speaking to him about the grace of God, about the love of God. I spent the next 2 hours speaking to him about life and how God loves life and made you and knew you before you were even created. And I talked to him about how God has a purpose for you and how God is a God of mercy, even though bad things happen in life. We sing it in the liturgy, "Kyrie eleison." And we think of all those that Jesus walked by, groveling in the dirt, crying to him, "Lord, have mercy." And he turned, and he had compassion, and he healed, and he mended. And I talked to him about Isaiah and his words, "A bruised reed God will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. And other words of Isaiah, Isaiah 34, God draws near the brokenhearted and he saves those that are crushed in spirit. And I prayed with him. And I prayed for hope and joy and life to return. For him to arise out of his defeat. And then he left. And I wondered, oh Lord, does he have a reason to go on? Please give him a reason to go on. You see, that's why Jesus did it, dear friends of Christ. The context of every scripture reading is so vital. That's why Jesus did it today, Mount of Transfiguration. He was giving some scared men in our context, some very frightened men, some very shaken men, a reason to go on. And why did they need a reason to go on? Because you see, his 3-year confirmation class with them was close to being over. And as that came to its end, Jesus began to speak more and more and more with them about what it meant to be the Messiah, about Jerusalem and what was going to happen in Jerusalem. It wasn't going to be a party. They weren't going to throw for him a big charade. No, Jerusalem was going to be painful. Jerusalem was going to be filled with evil men doing evil things. Jerusalem was going to be filled with nails and betrayal, with crosses. And it was going to hurt, and there was going to be blood, and there was going to be death. But it wouldn't just be any death, dear friends. We know, don't we? This death would be unlike any. This death would bring us salvation. This death would redeem the world. This death would justify us all. This death would be one that declares us innocent in the sight of God. This death would reconcile heaven and earth itself, God and his creation. This death would bring forgiveness and life and peace like no other. This death would free the world from Satan and his bondage and our bondage to sin. This death would bring everlasting life. What a tremendous moment on the cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And the Father did. This death would be like no other. Even so, dear friends, they kept hearing about it. About all the things that were going to happen in Jerusalem. And they began to get a little uneasy because it was getting closer and closer. And perhaps in a secret moment, a couple of those disciples said, I don't want to go. Don't want to go. Well, we know who Jesus is, isn't he? He's the omniscient Lord of all. And being the omniscient Lord of all, he did something. What did he do, dear friends, that day? He gave these disciples, these shaken disciples, a reason to go on, a reason to go forward. He gave them a reason. He brought them up on this high mountain, and he gave them for a moment a glimpse into heaven itself. And he transfigured himself right before their eyes. And they saw something that they had never seen before. The glory of God itself. And it was an overwhelming sight as the light beamed. And the glory beamed. It dropped them to their knees and they trembled before it all. For who is this individual? Indeed, He's not just some little nice guy like Gandhi who said a few nice things and then faded from the scenes. No, he showed them his identity. This was God of God, light of light, very God of very God, as the ancients confessed in the Nicene Creed. That's who you're staring at right here. You're staring at the God of creation who in the beginning said, "Let there be." You're staring at the Holy One of Israel. You're staring at the one that Moses and Elijah spoke about. And all the other prophets. You're staring at the one who fulfilled the law and fulfilled the prophets. You're staring at your very own Messiah, who is none other than the God of the universe himself. And you're beholding him as he will look one day when he returns in his glory, when the lightning streaks from east to west and the trumpets sound and the angel armies of the Lord arrive. And he comes in his glory and his splendor, the state of exaltation, you see. Indeed, for a moment, Jesus did it. He stepped out of the state of humiliation and into the state of exaltation. What a vision, dear friends. What a vision that was. What a sight to behold. It was the greatest of the epiphanies. We celebrate the Epiphany season, where the Word made flesh. Nothing about him, Isaiah said, that we should be drawn to him. He was so humbled. Where the Word made flesh, revealed himself. And so throughout the season of Epiphany, we see Jesus giving little glimpses of who he is. And he did signs and he did miracles and he did wonders to open their eyes to the work of God and to his true identity as he proclaimed the kingdom, the living Word of God. But then as they got closer to Jerusalem, it all culminated in the greatest of the epiphanies. The greatest of them all. And he summoned them up on the mountain to behold the glory of God. And for a moment he laid aside those humble trappings and let them behold God. And let them behold his glory, the glory of the one and only. And the vision was overwhelming. The vision dropped them to their knees. The vision filled them with awe. And the vision, indeed, dear friends, gave them a reason to go on. Look what great things lie ahead. Look what great things lie ahead on the other side of Jerusalem. On the other side of the cross, indeed on the other side of this world, a fantastic glory that awaits the people of God in the presence of God. And yes, they were inspired. Shaken, trembling. And yes, Jesus was giving to them a reason to go on. But then it happened, dear friends. Something very human happened. Something very human happened. In the presence of that glory, Peter had an idea. Hey, let's just stay here. What a great idea. It's pleasant up here. It's powerful up here. It's amazing up here. It's safe up here. Let's just stay here. Can we build you guys some tents? As if God needs a tent. And yeah, dear friends, we wouldn't mind staying here on earth a little longer, especially if there was a little glory involved. If God promised us tremendous health, tremendous glory, tremendous wealth, it wouldn't be so bad to stay here a while if things were good, if there wasn't so much pain, if it was doable. And yes, some preach that today. The prosperity gospel is going out in many places, and it's promising a little bit of heaven on earth. Your glory now, if you only follow the steps right, and God's waiting for you to follow those steps right. And if you have enough faith, he will give you the glory right now, and you can just stay right here in your tent. But friends of Christ, Jesus didn't need a tent, you see. He didn't need a tent because he wasn't going to stay up there. He had a mission to fulfill. He had a mission to complete. He had his Father's will to do, and that meant going to Jerusalem, the city of his destiny, and fulfilling all the Father had for him to do, bearing the sins of the world, enduring the shame and the rejection, enduring the cross, the whips, the soldiers, the unjust trials, enduring it all for the salvation of the world. He had a mission to complete. So that we indeed can be children of glory, children of everlasting life, children of eternal joy. So that we can have glory. And yes, it's coming. It's coming, dear friends, a glory that is so great that nothing on earth, St. Paul said, can come close to being compared to it. A glory so great that it is far beyond any suffering that we can endure. The glory is coming. And soon, Jesus will usher it in. At an unknown moment, an unknown time, when he'll rend the heavens once again, bring his armies, and bring salvation to all who believe. The glory's coming, so hold on. You have a reason to go on today. God has amazing things awaiting for you. You have a reason to go on. For you see, Jesus knew he had a rendezvous with the cross. That's how God works. He works through crosses. And maybe you have a cross today that you're bearing. Nobody's immune. But God works through them, he promises. He's working through those crosses to strip away from us all that does not belong to faith. He's working through those crosses to strip away all from us that does not trust in him. He's working through those crosses, you see, to purify us, to strengthen us, to uplift us, to increase our faith in him. And God will one day take that cross away. Just as he did with Jesus. And there was a glorious resurrection. And the disciples, yes, they were filled with awe and they were stunned, shaken a bit, but they had a reason to go on. They were strengthened to go forward and face Jerusalem. Because beyond Jerusalem were great and mighty things. What happened to him, dear friends? That young man that walked into my office got a phone call shortly thereafter And it was his mother. Gotta love those moms, huh? Watching after their boys and their girls. It was his mom. And she said, "What can I do to thank you? You saved him. For now he has a reason to go on, a reason to go forward." I said, "It wasn't me. I'm just fumbling around here as God's tool. It wasn't me. It was God. It was his grace. It was his Holy Spirit that was working. God has a job for him and a purpose for his life. And it's all going to end in tremendous glory." And she said, "My son has been saved." Thank you. And I said, "Come to church and learn more about it." For you see, there's great reasons to go on. And Peter and James and John came off the mountain and went to Jerusalem and became the pillars of a kingdom that cannot perish, spoil, or fade. Friends of Christ, you have reason to go on. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in him who lives and reigns, in him who shines with glory, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We take a moment to call upon our wonderful Heavenly Father in our prayers this morning. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, holy and righteous, almighty and everlasting, we lift up our voices to you in prayer today, and as we do, we give thanks to you for revealing Jesus to us, that we might know his forgiveness and peace, that we might know his comfort and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. For Jesus showed himself through miracles and wonders and deeds, through mighty epiphanies, that the world might know their Lord and Savior. And today he gives us the greatest of the epiphanies, a holy transfiguration, that lowly men might see the glory of God and have reason to go forward. Lord, grant us reason to go forward, especially in those moments when trials come, when weaknesses arrive, and we have no human strength. Show us your glory, your power, and purposes for our lives, and grant us the Holy Spirit that we might walk by faith and boldly go forward in your name, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Father above, for opening your hand to us again this week and feeding us, we give you our thanks and praise. For our tables had food, our feet had shoes, our bodies had clothing, our heads had roofs over them. Our lives had family and friends and love. Our bodies and souls had redemption and peace through Jesus. Lord, for every blessing of body and soul, we give thanks to you, Lord, in your mercy. Bless today, dear Father above, the little children. And stop, we pray, the madness of abortion. Bring to repentance the leaders of the state of New York and all who believe that murder is right. Bless the children and protect them. Bless our families, our marriages, and make them strong. Make us as Christians a light for the world and use our lives and words and deeds to show our world a higher way, a holier way, a way, the way of the Lord, the way of love, mercy, way of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Watch over us well, our dear Father in heaven, our President and Congress, and all who legislate, our courts and judiciaries, and all who bring forth justice in our land. Let their work bring you glory. Let their work protect the people with true justice. Let their work bring peace and safety that your church may proclaim the cross. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in these wayward times, we pray for your kingdom to come. Please open doors for your word in our world, in distant places where there is no light, to nearby places where there is little hope. Bless our missionaries and give them strength and courage to publish the good news of a cross that justifies the world. Give us strength and courage as well to tell of Jesus to that person in our lives who needs hope and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. And yes, dear Lord, we've come to this house of worship this morning to receive your living word, to rejoice with hymns and prayers and scripture, to greet our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to celebrate salvation with them. As we do, we pray for all who are ill, for all who are injured among us and in our families in some way. We think of those we mention in our hearts. Grant them, O Lord, your blessed hand of healing and strength that they might see your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless now, dear God, all our churches and pastors, our synodical president, Reverend Matt Harrison, our district president, Reverend Roger Schlechty, all our district presidents, circuit visitors, and pastors who proclaim the cross and your glory to the world. Grant them grace and strength, wisdom and peace, that your church might be built up. Lord, in your mercy. For Jesus, who lived and died and rose, for Jesus, whose wounds justified us all, for Jesus, who sent forth disciples to build a kingdom, for Jesus, whose epiphany among us has set us free, for Jesus, we give you our deepest thanks and praise. Let us now live in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the strength of you, O Father, that being united to the Holy Trinity, we may walk in your joy and peace. In the name of Jesus, whose glory shines and whose glory will be revealed, in his almighty name. Amen.